The Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell just got bigger. Featuring former defensive star and three-time national champion at Nebraska and NFL player Jason Peter. Jason Peter under the helmet. With Jason Peter on the Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Elissa Walker-Campbell, we are back this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. It is a very big weekend. We are getting ready to talk some Super Bowl, but National Signing Day is always such a fun time of year, and that's what we're going to talk about in our very next segment. Jason Peter, Husker Great, is along with us, and Jason, it's great to have you on the show this weekend, but I know we do have Husker fans right down here in the state of Texas. What can they anticipate in 2012 in the red?
Well, to start with, my skin breaks out in hives and rashes every time signing day comes around because I despise it. I really do. I just think that there is so much buildup with these kids, and they've got nowhere to go but down. And these writers and everybody else that takes part in putting these kids up on pedestals when they don't translate to the college game or when they don't become that first-round draft pick that that people project them at, you know, who's there to help these kids pick up the pieces? I heard somebody here in Lincoln the other day on the radio say that the kid, the big receiver, Beckham, that ended up going to Missouri, and he was one of the top prospects. There was a journalist from ESPN who was on the radio here, and he said that this kid won't get challenged physically until he gets to the NFL. And I'm thinking, wow, you've got to be kidding me. How do you know how a kid is going to progress athletically? Some kids hit their wall in high school. Some are late bloomers. You just never know how a kid is going to develop for the next 3-4 years. So to make those projections, it's ridiculous. And, you know, you just got to, I think, let kids come into their own. Let them mature at their own level, their own rate. And I think that's the thing that now recruiting doesn't let them do. But anyway, those are my feelings on recruiting, but, you know, obviously it's something that now is part of college football season. It's a season in itself, and Nebraska, they do what they normally, I think, have done in the past, and that's, you know, we don't really finish in the top 25. They finished probably 30 somewhere, and which doesn't mean squat. You know, I think high recruiting classes doesn't necessarily translate into national championships. I know that through the 3 national championships I won, there wasn't one recruiting class that we had that was in the top 15 or even maybe the top 20. And, you know, we ripped off 3 national championships. So, you know, I think the debate is still out on how much it actually does translate. I think it's more about the development of these players once you get them on campus. And I think most coaches would agree with that, but the coaches aren't the ones that come up with these rankings. So, you know, it's a feeling, though, of excitement. You got new players with all the new hype that's coming in, and people envision a lot of great things with these players. Nebraska probably from this class won't be remembered for the ones that they got, more so the ones that they didn't get. And the one that they didn't get is Andrus Pete. He was an offensive lineman out of Arizona. He's got a brother here at Nebraska who plays defensive line, and he ended up choosing Stanford rather than joining his brother out here.
I was going to say, you know, that is a big part of college football now. We're seeing the flip-flop, the last-minute decisions. James Hill in our first segment was talking about that. Did you see much of that, Jason, back in the day when you were a player and coming from New Jersey?
The only photographer that was at my signing was my mother. And,
wow.
And that was it. And I had to go to, I had to be in class the second after I signed my letter of intent. It was me, my coach, my mother, and that was it. And I think that's the way it should be now, with all the hat wearing and the you know, the changing of the hats and the backing out of commitments. I think, it has more of an impact, I think, on kids than maybe just what we're seeing as a kid who's just deciding that I'm going to fool everybody here and wear a Tennessee shirt, but then I'm going to rip that one off and there's going to be a Georgia shirt. I think you see a lot now with kids backing out of their decisions, and I think it all starts in high school. You see parents now that are moving their kids around different communities because the high school team in this community fits my son's skill set better. And it's ridiculous, I think. It's really gotten out of hand. But no, to answer your question, there was none of that.
We are going one-on-one with Jason Peter with our weekly Under the Helmet segment. And as the weeks go on, we will talk more about Nebraska and who they have signed and spring practice. My goodness gracious, when does that get underway? Down here, it's 3 weeks away for TCU.
Yeah, I think we're a little bit farther down the road. I think we get going in March, maybe the middle of March sometime.
Okay, but one of the things that we have promised our listening audience over the past couple of weeks, we just have had so much material to cover, is the fact that Oklahoma, Brent Venables, going to Clemson. I know you have some interesting insight on that I kind of thought, you know, I like the family thing, staying together, you know, Brent Venables being there with Mike Stoops, those guys teaming up, those bright minds, putting the package all together, but you see it kind of a different way. Talk to me, Jay.
Yeah, I don't see any situation or the possibility for a guy that wants to be a head coach in Brent Venables where bringing in a guy like Mike Stoops will help him get to that destination of being the head coach. Because here you have a guy who, you know, the defenses under Venables have been good. I think they're more of big game type defenses. Sometimes the ranking maybe necessarily doesn't show how good they actually are. But if you bring in Mike Stoops now, and people remember the defenses and the championships that were won when Stoops was Mike was the defensive coordinator there. Well, now for Brent, it becomes no matter how good our defense is next year or how much improved we are, what's the one big difference that people are going to see when they see this defense? And the difference is Mike Stoops is here now, and he's going to get the credit. He's going to get the credit because people will say, well, why couldn't Venables have done that prior to Mike Stoops getting there? And you know, Mike Stoops, who knows how long he's going to be there. I mean, this is a guy who I'm sure wants to become a head coach again. But I think for Venables, he has to kind of be out on his own. He's got to be able to say, okay, I did this now at Oklahoma, and I'm going to go here to Clemson, and I'm going to do it here, and I'm going to make sure that my work, the work that I put in, maybe doesn't necessarily get intertwined with, you know, the new guy who used to be the old guy who's coming back now. And, you know, I just think it was a difficult situation for him and for where he wants to be, and that's a head coach.
And certainly there is a lot of optimism. A lot of folks are excited, Jason, about Mike Stoops coming on board. And, you know, I think that Brent Venables did a phenomenal job in regards to a number of the players that he did bring in during his time there in Norman, Oklahoma. We're quickly running out of time, but we got to get your thoughts on the big Super Bowl, the Giants, the Patriots. Who's going to win it all?
It's hard to go against my Giants, especially when you look at New England and you look at what they do offensively. And a huge part of their game plan this year was the tight ends with Hernandez and Gronkowski. And Gronkowski, you know, he's in a walking boot earlier in the week, and you know, then he's seen in sneakers limping around, and then he's not limping. And I just think if you look at that injury that he sustained in that championship game, that was pretty significant. I mean, it was pretty tough to watch. And I think that's going to play a big role in how effective he is and whether he's effective at all. And when you look at Tom Brady and the New England offense, the tight end is a huge thing. And especially when you talk about playing a team that has a great pass rush, the tight end is always, usually a hot route. He's somebody that the quarterback can find right away when that, the blitzer's coming. It's the tight end that they're looking for, and when you take away the guy who really has almost reinvented, I think, the position, where you don't just have to be a hybrid type tight end to be a guy that catches the ball. He's kind of that, bringing that old Mark Bavaro style back, where you can be big, you can be nasty, you can block people, but you can also catch. He's a joy to watch. And being a Giant fan, I'd still love to see them beat the Patriots when they're at full strength. But when you get to this game, it doesn't really matter how you win it, as long as you win it.
I'm going with the Giants as well. You know, there are a number of great storylines in regards to Eli Manning, but I just think the leadership and stability of their head coach, Tom Coughlin, has just been terrific. And he's been there 8 years, and I think that they'll be able to bring home the big trophy. So listen, Jason, we look forward to catching up next week. We'll do a full recap of the Super Bowl, all the activities, and you stay warm up there in Lincoln, Nebraska with you and your girls.
All right. Thanks, Sue.
Take care. We'll be right back with much, much more here in just a moment.